The Gemara discusses how on Yom HaKippurim, the holiest day in the Jewish calendar, we do not recite Hallel. Hallel, which of course everyone understands classically, is a prayer, a tefillah, that has everything to do with rejoicement, public simcha, a state of jubilation. And of course on Yom HaKippurim, a day when we are so enveloped by the awesome nature of the day, so enveloped by the awesomeness of being in front of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and being or basking in His glory, and truly participating and really pleading and beseeching Hashem to forgive us on the Day of Atonement, the Gemara explains it would be quite inappropriate for a person to recite Hallel on this particular day. Having said that, at the beginning of Yom HaKippurim, we actually do recite some indication of simcha, of happiness, by which we recite a bracha. The bracha is recited by the entire ki'ilah, the congregation in unison, Shechiyanu v'ki'imanu v'giyanu lazman hazeh. Classically, we know, for example, in the Shulchan Aruch, a person recites the Shechiyanu when he buys a new article of clothing, when he purchases a new, worthwhile, beautiful item, something of tremendous value to him. The person recites Shechiyanu at that particular juncture, even on a new fruit. It would seem quite inappropriate if the Gemara explains, Emas adin mutelet alecha ve'atem omrim shira. The fear of judgment is upon you. How can you possibly recite Hallel? Well, then the same question could really apply to why or how we can possibly recite Shechiyanu. It's also difficult to understand. Some of the commentaries, the Mefarshim, explain the Shechiyanu that we are reciting at that point, on Yom HaKippurim, at the beginning of the day, at the onset, is the simcha, the happiness, the greatness of the fact that we have now survived through the year, that we arrived at Yom Kippurim Azeh, Ad Yom Kippurim Haba, Aleinu, Ve'al Kol Yisrael Letova. We have arrived, we've made it, so to speak, through the year. And that's a reason to state a Shechiyanu. Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal, however, explains that a Shechiyanu is recited at the beginning of the day because we are reciting Shechiyanu on the happiness that we are given the opportunity to stand in front of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, to bask and to surround ourselves, kiviyachol, in the glory, in the aura, the great presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of the divinity of Hashem, if we could possibly fathom such a thing. Yom HaKippurim is so awesome. It is such a wonderful opportunity. Sure, it is frightening. Sure, it is a fearful experience to stand in front of Hashem. Yet the Jew understands that the greatest opportunity that we could have from a religious and spiritual perspective is the one granted to us by which we can stand and bask in Hashem's glory. And therefore, yes, it's quite appropriate that we recite the Shechiyanu at the beginning of the day of Yom HaKippurim, thanking Hashem, not only stating our fear, but thanking Hashem for allotting us this wondrous opportunity to be able to stand in front of Him, to be able to daven in front of Him. Real simcha for a Jew is derived when we are given these spiritual and religious opportunities. Now we are exposed, we have the opportunity to surround ourselves with a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and that is the greatest and most wonderful education, opportunity, experience that a Jew can have. And therefore, yes, it is quite appropriate that we thank Hashem, that we recite the Shechiyanu. The Rambam Maimonides quotes in the Halachot of the Beis HaMikdash, Beis HaBechira, he talks about the simcha that the Kohen HaGadol, the high priest, had after he exited, upon exiting the Avodah of Yom HaKippurim, What a great opportunity he had just had. The fact that he not only survived, but the fact that he was surrounded by the Shekhinah in the Kodesh HaKodeshim, the Holy of Holies. The Yom Tov HaYu'oshin LeKohen Gadol U'Lechol Mishpachto. The entire high priest's family would be involved in a Yom Tov. The Yom Tov not only of Yom HaKippurim, but a Yom Tov separate in of itself. A Yom Tov to celebrate the fact that not only he survived, but the fact that he was given this opportunity as a representative of Am Yisrael to once again surround himself with the aura of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the truth is that the Yom Tov of Sukkot continues and is really an extension of that Simcha. As a matter of fact, Rav Soloveitchik explains that the greatness or the reason why Sukkot follows Yom HaKippurim is for that very reason. Yom HaKippurim has a simcha to it in the fact that we are in the presence of the Divine, of the Almighty, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Sukkot extends that simcha. It is called Zman Simchatenu, the happiness that we experience when we surround ourselves in the four L's of the Sukkah. When we surround ourselves, not only or merely physically, by the walls of the Sukkah, but the walls of the Sukkah are representative of the Ananea Kavod, the clouds of glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We sit, we eat, we discuss, we converse, we learn, and yes, we even sleep, surrounding ourselves by the glory of Hashem. That, my friends, is reason to have simcha. That, my friends, is reason to be mevorech shechiyanu v'kiimanu v'giyanu lazman hazeh. More than the article of clothing that is bought, more even than the first new fruit that is eaten, the simcha that a Jew derives by being granted that wonderful religious opportunity. I have to say, I was recently in South Africa as a guest speaker for the high holidays for Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim. And it was quite a beautiful davening. But I have to tell you, the most impressive part of the davening of Yom HaKippurim was not the tefillah on the day itself, but it was actually the Mariv that followed Yom HaKippurim. It was the Mariv immediately after Ne'ilah, when normally many kihilot rush through the Mariv, many balabatim run through the Mariv in order to arrive at the food quickly, to be able to swallow that cup of the grape juice from Havdalah and to gorge themselves with food because they are so hungry, so tired, so weak. Who has time to daven Mariv now? We just went through a whole day of tefillah. Let's whisk through Mariv in order to arrive at the essence of the moment, which indeed is to eat the food after we have invested so much physical energy into the fast. And yet in this particular minyan, and I've seen minyanim who behave like that, in this particular minyan of young adults, there was an understanding that we had just stood in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We just davened. We just immersed ourselves in a spiritual experience. How can we possibly go from the extreme of spirituality to the extreme of materialism, to gorge ourselves with food so quickly after we were on that spiritual pinnacle high of standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That is where Simcha is derived for the Jew. And in that Mariv, it was said slowly, with kavanah, with intent, with proper understanding, and with the immersion of thought. I was so very impressed that this was the mood that was held over after Yom HaKippurim. It was like a statement. We not only enjoyed being in front of you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on Yom HaKippurim, to be immersed in your glory, but let us extend that. Let us bring it further into the weekday, into the Mariv that follows now. We are interested in having that feeling carry over into the future. And that is precisely the concept of Sukkot. It is the furtherment of that spiritual feeling. It is the furthering of that spiritual devotion that lasts over from Yom HaKippurim and holds over through Sukkot itself. I remember once when I was in Eretz Yisrael, where I live, I went to the makolet, to the local grocery store, the morning after Yom Kippur. And I'm standing online, and all of a sudden a group of rather raunchy teenagers pull over. None of them appear to be religious. They're not dressed in religious garb. They're not wearing kippot. They have earrings and wild hair. They look like what you would call punk rockers. And yet the music that was booming from their car was the music from a famous Jewish singer, Anachnu Ma'aminim Bnei Ma'aminim. This wonderful Hasidic song that was being sung, that was being resonating from the speakers of their car. And of course, I thought it was rather strange. I looked at the owner of the makolet. He looked at me. We exchanged looks, thinking that it looked a little strange. And all of a sudden, the owner of the makolet said to me a wonderful chiddush. He said, "You see, Yom Kippur carried on inside of them. And that's why it's emanating from their car." How true it is. This is the concept of Sukkot. This is where the Jew derives his true simcha from. And it's interesting. The Gemara in Menachot describes or discusses how the last few psukim of the Torah were written. When the last few psukim describe the demise, the death of Moshe Rabbeinu, all of us know that Moshe is the messenger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was the one who wrote the Torah. How could he have written those last few psukim when it describes his death? And there's a machloket in the Gemara how exactly it was done. According to one opinion, those last few psukim were actually authored by Yehoshua, his prized Talmud. But according to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon says, "Bedema nichtov," that the last psukim were written by the tears that fell from Moshe's face. And those tears fell onto the cloth, onto the script, onto the parchment, and they formed the words of the last few psukim. Says Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal, "Do not think for a moment that Moshe is crying because he's going to die, or because he knows he's leaving the Jewish people. That he was aware of already. Why was Moshe Rabbeinu crying? Where were these tears coming from? Moshe was crying because the last few psukim of the Torah were not authenticized. They were not actually justified until he left this world, until he actually died. So at the time that Moshe wrote those words with his tears, he cried because he said, even if the last few psukim, even if but for a few moments, are not yet authentic, have not yet taken place, it compromises for the moment the sanctity of the Torah. And that, my friends," said Moshe Rabbeinu, "is reason to cry." Moshe weeps, Moshe sobs, because there is a bit of compromise in the spirituality of the Torah for those few moments until he actually dies. It's a tremendous insight that Rav Soloveitchik explains. To be upset, to be disturbed by the lack of authenticity, by the compromise in Torah, that is reason for crying. That is reason to be disturbed. I recall one year, walking by my little daughter, who at the time, Kenahara, she was 6 years old. And I saw her crying during the Aseret Yemei Tshuva, the 10 days of repentance. And I went over to her and I said, "Why are you crying, sweet?" And she looked at me and she said, "Abba, I am having a hard time waking up my Yetzer HaTov, my positive and good inclination." She was crying for that reason. I said to myself, halavai, all of us should cry for such a reason. That is a reason to cry. How many of us experience, not only through our children, but even in our own personal lives, times when we are angry, frustrated, upset, and times when we even cry for no justifiable reason. The Torah explains to us there's reason to cry, there's reason to be upset, and there's reason to rejoice. And the truth is that both of them are one and the same. The reason to cry is when we have to compromise or we cannot possibly reach the pinnacle, the state of religiosity, the state of spirituality that we potentially can. That is reason for a Jew to despair. And alternatively, there is reason for simcha. I imagine that at that moment, if my daughter truly was able to grasp the Yetzer HaTov, the positive inclination, if she could fulfill mitzvot and appreciate spirituality, I imagine that that would have given her the greatest feeling of simcha. On the other hand, and therefore alternatively, the reason for simcha is when we can impress ourselves, surround ourselves, and immerse ourselves in the Shechina, HaKadosha, of the Sukkah, of the Yom Kippur, of the Tfilah, of the Torah, of the Yetzer HaTov, our positive inclination. That is precisely the statement the Jew makes when he sits in the Sukkah. I am interested in what true life is about. I am interested in authentic living, in understanding and appreciating the depths and the complexities and the wonderful universe that the Torah has to offer, the meaning and purpose that it gives to our lives. May we all be zoche to appreciate and understand and truly enjoy the simcha of what Sukkot has to offer. And as a result of understanding and appreciating that simcha, may we all be zoche to waken our Yetzer HaTov. Chag Sameach.